Welcome to Chicago Tabernacle, a place of becoming. Wherever you find yourself, we pray that you would be encouraged today by God's word.
I was in South Carolina working at a factory in college. Someone gave me a cassette tape. How many of you remember those cassette tapes, right? Remember those things? And a little Walkman with a little clip, you know, you can get the clip right there, little foam headphones. And I was working at a factory, and it was actually, I was working at a mill, and you'd put like 8 or 9 different pieces of metal into the machine, shut the door, hit the button, and it was like a 7-minute process. And so the manager said, hey, you can read a book, you can't sit down, you can stand up, you can listen to your music or whatever. You just, once it's done, you got to take the headphones off, and when you open the machine and take the mill out. So he's like, I'm like, okay, great. Someone gave me a cassette tape by a man of God. His name was Pastor Clark, and he was from Australia, and he began to share on what I'm going to share on today. It probably must have been over 15 years ago that I heard that message. And I remember, you know, I grew up in the Lord, and everyone here hasn't grown up in the Lord, but I grew up in the Lord. And when you grow up in the Lord, you hear stuff a lot. And you, from the time you're a little baby, you hear things like God loves you. You know, but do you recognize that someone who's never heard God loves you, that is a transformational truth? Okay? You hear that Jesus wants to live in your heart, and our little kids learn that. But then, you know, if the first time you've ever heard that Jesus wants to live in your heart, you're like, are you serious? The fact that, and so there's truths that as Christians we can get so accustomed to that we don't even recognize, we grow so accustomed to that we become distant from. And I remember someone, he gave me this tape, and I was sitting there listening to this subject matter, and I was so arrested and gripped in my heart. And I feel like a revolution began at that moment. A truth that I had heard for years growing up in church, but it's one thing to have a truth here. It's a whole nother thing to have it here in your heart. You can know a lot of things, but knowledge does not always equal change and transformation. Having truth doesn't always equal a life of victory and power and purpose in God. And it's very important, especially for you younger men, to remember, we live in a day and age when you can Google virtually anything. But just because we Google something and you read an article doesn't mean it's made its way into your heart. Just because we've taken truth in, if it hasn't made it into our heart and been brought about change and transformation, we haven't gone through the total process of truth. So I'm going to read through a passage of scripture, and then we're going to get right into it. I'm not going to talk long, God willing, because I feel like this is one of those truths I want to get into you. And then we need to get to praying. Some truths are so important that it's the Spirit of God who's got to work it deep down into our soul. Okay? So we're going to pull it up. It's going to be in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 24. In verse 24, I believe, is what I gave them. Colossians starting in verse 1, verse 24. It says this, "Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness." The mystery, can we say mystery? The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. The glorious riches, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The New American Standard Version says this. It says this. No, not that one. It's going to make its way. There it is. It says this, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete in Christ." Okay, so the idea is that the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, there's all of this truth, and there's all of these things that are taking place, and if you could understand that, it will position you to be complete in Jesus Christ. And that was the nature and the theme of the breakfast today, called the complete man, the complete man. You know, and I've heard it said throughout my years that virtually, that actually all men are broken. All men are broken because we grew up and we were born into a broken world. We were born into a world of sin. Sin has broken us. Some of our upbringings have actually made that brokenness worse. Some of our own decisions and our own mistakes have already made our lives even more broken to the point that we can walk around in the sense of being incomplete. Incomplete. One of the challenges with being incomplete is that it can make us many times depressed, discouraged, angry, and sometimes even hopeless. And for Christian men, well, you can have the truth that says, I should feel joy, peace, and love, but why am I walking around with a sense of discouragement all the time? Or why is it that when I fail or when I come against an obstacle or certain seasons of life come across that I could actually feel this void and emptiness in my soul? Raise your hand if you understand what I'm talking about. I can raise all of them, okay? And you know, for men, we're called to lead. Men are called to be the one who have responsibility. And for those of you who are heads of household, you're the one who's supposed to have the answers. And it can be very challenging sometimes as a man of God when you're like, well, I'm supposed to know what to do. I'm supposed to be able to walk in this place. You hear Jesus Christ died and to give you life abundantly. So you're like, well, my life's supposed to be abundant, but it sure doesn't feel like that. And my internal reality doesn't seem to reflect what I'm reading in the Bible. In my life, there's this disconnect, and there's a sense of being incomplete, a sense of being incomplete. And many times we can feel the pressure to be the man of God. Showing of hands, how many of you here know that God wants you to be a man of God? Yes. And listen, I love our sisters, but women have their own calling in God. Men have a unique calling in God. And by the way, if I could say, if you understand the demonic ploy of why the enemy is trying to mix the genders, it's because if he can mix the genders, he neutralizes everything. There is a biblical role for men and a biblical role for women. None are better than the other. Both are equal before God, but they're different. But as men, we are called to lead. I heard a story a while back about three Christian guys who really love Jesus Christ. They love the Lord. And they found themselves in a challenging situation. They went over to somebody's house and something was going on there that wasn't very godly. And all three men were silent. All of them. And you know, when I heard that story a while back, I got puzzled because I said, well, these people love Jesus. They know their Bible. Yet something made it incredibly difficult for that man, for those three men of God. It wasn't one, it wasn't two, it was three men of God to speak. To act, to be the man of God. We're called to not just act like men of God, we're called to be men of God. Because can I tell you, if you try to act without something internally, when the pressure comes on, many times you don't act right. Because we're called to be men of God. And that pressure, and we've all been there when there was a moment when we were supposed to respond a certain way and we missed the boat. Showing of hands, how many of you missed the boat before? I miss it, we fail, it's the nature of life. Yeah, someone started clapping. Don't clap. Okay, not clapping. Just raising the hand. Okay. And so the pressure to be a man of God, and you're like, I'm supposed to be something that God's called me to be, but man, I don't feel like I'm quite hitting it. For example, Pastor Toledo preached a powerful sermon years ago that men are called to be lions and lambs. A man of God is supposed to know when to roar, and he's also supposed to know when to be silent. A man of God is supposed to know when to be strong, yet be humble. We're supposed to be leaders, yet servants. Loving, yet courageous. In this toxic world with all of the external and internal pressures, how do we become the complete and mature men of God that he's called us to be? How do we do it? God, you've called us to be complete. And by the way, throughout the remainder of this message, I'm going to use the word complete and mature synonymously, okay? Interchangeably. So God, how do we become complete and mature men of God? We may know the answers, but it may not always transfer into the reality of our lives. And what can start to happen, the devil loves this. The devil loves to jump on the shoulders of us as men. He loves to jump, say, hey, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You really think you can be a man of God? Your father was not a man of God. Your grandpapa wasn't a man of God. Your mom's not a man of God. Your uncles aren't man of God. What makes you think that you can be a man of God? And there's an answer that the Lord has. You say, well, sure, my lineage wasn't man of God, but I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise God. Hallelujah. Yet, moments come when we miss the mark. And we could say, God, I know I'm supposed to be this complete and mature man. But God, am I going to have to wait 40 years till I'm really mature in you? God, am I going to have to wait 35 years? Do I have to go to Bible school and get a degree? Do I got to read the Bible through 20 times before I feel this sense of being able to fulfill what you've called me to do? Our heavenly problem, Heavenly Father, knows this problem all too well. Actually, he knows about it ever since our brother Adam took the fruit. In the garden, when Adam sinned, in the book of Genesis, and he took that fruit and he disobeyed God, it began the battle between what God is calling us to be and us falling short every single time. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, which I'm going to give some an opportunity here after that, maybe there's some here today, Jesus washes your sins away, and an amazing thing begins to happen. You become his child, you become his son. But even after that moment, we can have these struggles and these challenges. All throughout the Old Testament, God was building and preparing for something. Just with a showing of hands, how many of you guys have read through the Bible one time? Just raise your hand. Okay, many. I'm hoping by our next breakfast, all of us are able to raise our hands. Okay, by next year. If you haven't, I want to encourage you, start reading. Just one couple chapters a day. We'll talk more about that later. But when you read through the Old Testament, you begin to see that God is building and he's preparing for something. He's building, he's preparing. Even the prophets didn't understand. Moses didn't understand. David didn't understand. Elijah, Isaiah, these men did not understand what God was building towards. But then he sent Jesus Christ to the earth to give his life for men, so men could have fellowship. But look at this verse in 1 Corinthians 2:7. Then we're going to jump right into it. Look, it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. It says, no, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Look at verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you know that the devil didn't really understand what God's plan was? He knew that mankind was falling short, and he didn't understand what in the world was going on. But here is the most amazing and wonderful thing, that Jesus Christ himself came to live inside the heart of broken men. Jesus Christ himself came to live inside the heart of broken men. Now let's jump back to our verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. Stick with me. This is the mystery that's been hidden for all time. This mystery that people didn't understand, that our forefathers didn't understand. They did not get the fact that God himself was going to come live inside. Can we say inside? Inside the heart of men. And my brothers, herein lies the truth. Herein lies the breakthrough a truth that if we could just grasp what it really means to live a life understanding that Jesus Christ, the King of glory, is not out there billions of years of miles away, but he is here in our hearts. And the revolution that would create, the complete Christ makes us complete men. Jesus Christ, who is 100% God, he's perfect in every way. When you give your heart to Jesus, he comes to live inside of you by the Holy Spirit, and Christ himself is there, and he is the one who makes up all of our shortcomings, and he makes us complete in him. If you believe that, say amen. Okay, so I want you to think about it for one moment, what your life would look like if you lived in a way that Jesus Christ was actually inside of you. This is the tape that I listened to when I was at the mill. And the guy started talking in that really cool Australian accent, you know, I can't mimic it. And he started talking and saying, what would your life look like if you understood this? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, not Christ outside of you, Not Christ in the church building, not Christ in some far off place, but Jesus Christ, the same God who walked on the streets of this earth and healed everyone that he touched, the same God who defeated sin and death, the same God who is all so amazing, doesn't live outside, but he lives and he's not even just next to you. It's not like he's like your best buddy just standing next to you. He is inside of us. And oh, what would our lives look like? Well, that's what we're going to jump through real quickly here. So the current question I have, how is it that Jesus does this? What happens when he's inside of us? What begins to take place? Well, first of all, Jesus transfers his nature to us from the inside out. This is the journey of becoming complete men. Jesus transfers his nature. So how does he what does that look like? How does that go through? Well, what I want to do is I want to just tell you a couple things that Jesus is, okay? I want to walk through what this looks like. First of all, there's so many of them. Christ is what I want to call liberator. Christ is liberator. Meaning, if you're here struggling today and you have a challenge and you feel bound up, can I tell you that the freedom that you need is standing right inside of your heart right now? Jesus Christ, the one who conquered death and sin and every evil in the world, is living inside of your and my heart. The liberator, the God who is the God of freedom, is inside of your heart. Sometimes you might be on your knees and saying, God, you got to set me free from this. And oh, why won't you help me? And we can sometimes put God on the witness stand. And he's saying, will you stand up and just believe that I'm actually right here inside of you? Brothers, some of you need to cross a line of faith. God's not answering you because you're not in faith. And if our Heavenly Father answers us when we're not in faith, we'll never learn how to grow as a man of God. And some of you have been praying for years about something, and the Lord's like, stop complaining, just believe. First of all, Christ is liberator. Secondly, I love this one, Christ is the perfect Father. Oh, so some of you say, you might be discouraged today. You said, I'm not doing well as a father. Oh, there is hope for all of us as fathers. How many fathers in the room? Raise your hand. Many, many fathers. Yes, there's hope for us. Every father will be in a situation in their parenting that you don't have a clue what to do. Some of you are like, I'm there every day. Okay. And every father will also be in a situation where you do the wrong thing, where you act the wrong way. You respond in anger. You respond in selfishness. You respond in a way that you just are ashamed of. Don't listen to the devil condemn you. Just confess. Say, Lord, I didn't do that right, forgive me. But then we begin to recognize that the answer, even to our parenting, is inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is the perfect Father. He knows how to parent. He knows exactly what to say and how to say it. He's the perfect Father. Secondly, not only is he a perfect Father, and by the way, some of you, the whole breakfast was so the Lord could encourage you, do not be afraid that you don't have a lineage of good parenting. You're going to break the cycle in the name of Jesus. God's going to use you to break the cycle because he's going to say, listen, if you recognize that I'm in you, I'm going to teach you every step of the way. I'm going to teach you how to be a good father. Christ is the perfect Father. Another thing is Christ is the perfect husband. Oh, this is so good. Jesus is not only a perfect Father, he's a perfect husband. He knows how to love. He knows how to love selflessly. Same thing. You might say, I find it a little easier to love my children than this woman that God gave me. Okay. You say, man, it's tough. I find that it requires something that I don't have. Amen. And today you may need to cross the line that says, Jesus, I'm looking for the answers on Google and Wikipedia and Time Magazine and Relationship Help. I'm looking to all these people. I'm asking all my coworkers about what it means to be a good husband when the perfect husband's actually living inside of me. Why don't I talk to him about it? Why don't I ask him what to do? And brothers, I've been there so many times. I'm like, God, I need wisdom. Would you show me? And man, he is faithful. The Bible says if you ask, you will receive. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open unto you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is also a perfect husband. Another thing is that Christ is the Son of Man. Christ is the Son of Man. They say, what's the Son of Man? We could spend weeks just talking about the fact that he's the Son of Man. But one thing I want to talk about today, men, please look here. the boys and the little boys, I'm so glad to see some of the young guys here, but the generation that is behind us, they need us as men of God. The Son of Man knows how to relate to the sons in our life. He knows exactly how to communicate. How you raise your daughters is a kind of a cousin to the perfect parent, but how we raise our little girls, they need lots of love, they need lots of attention all the time, forever, okay? You don't just check in and check out, oh, I gave my daughter a hug last week. No, you need to give her a hug and tell her I love you every single day. If you don't give your daughter a hug, someone else is going to give her a hug, okay? We need to love our daughters with a love that outdoes any other love in the world, and God will use that to keep them and to help them throughout their life. But our sons, yes, they need love. Yes, our sons need hugs. Yes, our love needs affirmation, all that. But sons need a certain type of male affirmation that only a father can give. So he's also the Son of Man. He's going to help us with that. Another thing is Christ is joy. Oh, this is great. Are you struggling with depression today? Are you struggling with being discouraged? Don't look for your joy out there. Look for it in the person who's standing inside of you, Jesus Christ himself. Christ himself has all the joy that we need for the rest of our life and eternity, and he's living inside of us. Christ is joy. Christ is also the wonderful counselor. This is out of the book of Isaiah. He's the wonderful counselor. He's not just a good counselor. He's the wonderful counselor. As men of God, this is a huge area that we need to become mature in and become complete in. Who's the first person that you and I call when we're in a jam? Do we talk to the God who's inside of us, or do we talk to other people first? It's a great spiritual habit to begin to recognize, Jesus, let me talk to you before I talk to anybody else about what's going on. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the instruction. He'll help you with meetings at work. He'll help you figure out how to do projects. I'm telling you, he has wisdom beyond experience. He's the one who created the world. You recognize that this all-wise God, the one who created the world, lives in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the wonderful counselor. The other thing is Christ is love. Do you struggle with anger today? Anger, an area that is just really challenging for you. When the pressure gets on, do you find yourself just so wound up that anger just rolls out of you and you get discouraged? Can I tell you that the greatest way to overcome anger is to ask Jesus Christ himself to flood our souls with love. Love. Perfect love casts out all fear, and love overcomes all things. And it's very difficult to have a heart that's saturated with love and also to act in anger. So say, Jesus, you are love. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's not just love out there. There's love inside by the love of the Lord himself. And this is a very important area, by the way. Christ is love. That many times men and women get all busted up in a lot of different relationships is because they're looking for that love in a place that only Jesus Christ can satisfy. And newsflash, even if you get married someday, the wife that God is going to give you or has given you, she can't even meet the full demand of love that the heart needs. Only Jesus. You might be here today and you might be having some strife in your marriage because you're looking for your wife to fill something that only Jesus can fill. You're saying, why don't you do this? And you can start to blame. You can start to say, you get frustrated when the Lord's like, why are you looking at her when the God of love, and I'm inside of you. I am here. There's nothing like the love of Christ and the love of the Father that's in us that can fill our soul. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God helping us to become complete men. Three more quick things. One, Christ is purified. Did we put that in there? Christ is the purifier. Have you ever been somewhere before that you walked out of a building, or you walked out of a meeting, or you saw something, or you were part of something, you just felt like you jumped into a sewer of evil? Okay, showing your hand. Be honest. I've been there. You just feel like, and you know, you go a couple of weeks later, even a couple of hours, hopefully not a couple of weeks, but a couple of hours later, and you still feel that. It's kind of like your spirit gets assaulted. The devil loves to assault men of God. Young men, listen here. Listen, it's very important. The devil will try to assault your spirit with impurity, impure thoughts. Summer's coming. This is a men's meeting. Let's be honest, okay? Whenever the summer comes, my youth pastor taught me this many years ago. He said, listen, every April or May, just begin to pray that God would purify your eyes. We can be honest here. Sometimes the sisters just wear less and less clothing in this world, you know. And he began to say, listen, Jesus is able to keep you pure. Jesus is able to keep your mind, your eyes, every part of you pure. And not only is he able to keep you pure, when you feel assaulted by impurity, Jesus is able to wash and to just get that junk off you. Maybe today you just feel like you've been through a week of evil. Oh, man. Just say, Jesus, you're in me, and you can purify me from the inside out in the greatest way. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is the purifier. He's the purifier. Two quick last things, and then we're going to pray. Two quick things, and I'm going to share one thing, then we're going to pray. Christ is healer. Christ is healer. Jesus Christ is able to heal in a way that nobody else can. He is inside of you. The greatest healing that you could ever need is not out here, but he's in here, and he is ready and standing by to release his healing power into your heart, into your life. Christ is healer. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then the last thing on this segment is that Christ is perfect strength. He's perfect strength. We are called to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Many times as men of God, we feel incomplete because we say this situation requires more strength than I have. You ever been there before? Let's be honest, right? You come up against something, you're like, I just don't have the strength for that. And you know what? What's beautiful about being a follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus is like, it's okay. You don't have the strength. I've got the strength, and I've got everything that you need. And it's right here. And a little note on that with Christ when he gives you strength. Many times he doesn't give you strength for a week. Many times he won't even give you strength for the day. He'll give you strength for the moment. You know why? It's because he says, I don't want you just to check out after you get the strength. Because men are, this is one of the areas that we can so quickly check out from the Lord. Is when we feel strong, men will start to run. And many times, the stronger we feel, the further we outrun God. Sometimes God needs to slow us down. That's why he strips us of our own strength. He says, I need to slow you down. You need to learn to tap into my strength. Christ is perfect strength. I think we need to put our hands together and praise God for all of those things that Jesus is. Hallelujah. So real quickly, I think the challenge is, so we just read all of these things, and I think that the challenge is that many times we live our lives like we're still trying to figure out where to get those things. We can go about our day saying, well, I don't know where to get all these things. I don't know how to do it. But look at this in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 in the message. It says this. It says, this mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. The mystery, in a nutshell, is just this. Christ is in you. People that don't know Jesus don't have Christ in them. My brothers, we got to make sure we don't live our lives as if Jesus is not inside of us. We have to learn to live our lives in a way that he's not far off. Here's the encouragement for us today. Stop living like he's out there and start living like he's in here. Let's praise God that he's going to help us to do that. Up. Stick with me. It'll be just a couple of more moments. Up until the New Testament, it was a mystery. Listen, the guys who wrote the Old Testament, God was not living inside of their heart. He would come upon them and influence them, but they didn't have the sacred, incredible privilege of Jesus in our heart. What would King David say today if we pulled up a stool and sat down right here, the one who loved God, who had a heart after God? He would say, you're not seeking God and he's inside of you. You're not talking to God and he's in you. No, what would the prophet Elijah say if he came up to us and said, amen, of 2016, you're not asking for, you're not gaining his resources and he literally is inside of you. There's no more mystery. And if you want to, we're going to talk more about this in the Awakened Men's Bible study, but the church of Colossae was actually believing a heresy called Gnosticism that said that there was some sort of secret knowledge out there that they had to figure out, and they began to take pride in that. There's no secret knowledge. It's all been revealed. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything and every answer and everything that we may ever need is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Jesus on the inside, by the power and the grace of God, he's in us. He shed his blood for us so that he could not be far off, but he could be inside of us. It's the beautiful thing. We need to learn to stop living like he's out there and start living like he's in our hearts. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Husbands, stop saying that there's no hope for your marriage when the perfect husband is living inside of you. Stop saying there's no hope for your children when the perfect father is living inside of you. Stop saying that there's no hope for my bondage or my sin or my struggle when the liberator is living inside of you. Stop saying, hold on. Stop saying I don't have self-control when the God of discipline and self-control is living inside of you. Stop saying I can't control my anger when the God of love is inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if I might say this, we need to stop living our lives like we don't have a purpose. When the creator of the cosmos, who knows our future, he knows every second of every day of every moment of our life, is living inside of us. Oh God, would you build our hearts with faith, Lord? Here's the closing prayer, and we're going to pray together. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the prayer we begin to say, you know what? I've been crucified with Christ. Let me give you a modern translation of this before they put it up. This was by a man named Frank Bartleman. He wrote a book called Azusa Street. If you don't have it, you need to get it. He was one of the leaders of one of the last greatest revival in 1904, one of the last greatest revival, an incredible man of God. And here's what he said. He, by the way, this is a man who saw God do amazing things. He said, men must come to know their own weakness before they can hope to know God's strength. The natural strength and ability of man are always the greatest hindrance to the work of God and to God's working. We must be crucified to ourselves. Jesus is not asking us to do it on our own. He's saying, let me be the Christ who lives through you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's just bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. You might be here today, and you've heard all about Jesus Christ living inside of our hearts. You've heard the promise that he's able to give and all the amazing things that he will do in our hearts. But maybe Jesus Christ is not in your heart today. Maybe you've heard about God, you've known about Jesus, but he's not in you. He's a God that's far out from you. And maybe a friend invited you today, a family member. Maybe you found it on the website, or you just kind of stumbled your way in here today. Or maybe you've been coming to the church for a couple weeks and you just now realize that you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. The best news for you today is this, is that for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. The Bible says this, that he says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness, but Jesus shed his blood so your sins and my sins can be forgiven. Virtually all of the men in this room that are sitting around you right now have had this moment with God, and they said, Jesus, forgive me my sins and come be Lord and come live in my life, Jesus. I need you to save me. Listen, you might have grown up in church your whole life, but you've never asked Jesus to come be Lord and Savior of your heart. And if you're here today, and it might just be one of our brothers, might be one man in this room. And if you're here and you would say, I've never done that. I feel the Spirit of God knocking on my heart. Even Pastor Man, as you were talking, I kind of felt like I was sitting on the outside because I have no idea that God wanted to live in my heart. And I never asked him. I never invited him to come into my heart. And today, in this very safe place, in God's house, you'd like to say, I would like to ask Jesus to come wash my sins and to come live in my heart. If you'd like to do that today, I want you just to raise your hand in God's presence. Nobody moving. You'd say, yes, I'd like to do that. I've never done that before. Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand up so I can see it. Is there anybody you would say, I want to do that? Thank you. Thank you. One hand went up. Is there anyone else? You would say, I've never done that. I need to ask Jesus. Thank you. Another hand went up. Is there anyone else? We're going to wait one moment. Two hands went up. Thank you. Three, four hands went up. Five hands went up. Is there anyone else that you would say, I've never done that. I want to ask Jesus Christ to come forgive me of my sins and come live in my heart. Thank you. I see you in the back there. Thank you. Okay, you can put your hands down now. For those of you who raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to take a very bold step. I want you to stand right where you're at in your seat. Just stand right up. Just stand right where you're at in your seat if you raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Just stand right up where you're at in your seat. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. For those of you who stood up, God is here today. He knew you would be here today. And I'm going to lead you in a prayer that's very simple. Very simple, that says, Jesus, I want you to come forgive me of my sins and live in my heart. And us as your friends around this room, we're going to pray with you. And we're going to pray to encourage you. And if as you pray in your heart and you believe as we're praying, Jesus Christ is going to come forgive you of your sins. And he's going to come live in your heart. So let's bow your heads, close your eyes, and brothers, let's all pray together. And for those of you who are standing, I want you to just repeat after me, and you believe in your heart. Say, dear Jesus, I thank you for this day. I believe that you are God, and I believe that you died on a cross for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come and to cleanse me of all of my sins. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I ask that you would be my King and that you would be my Lord. Jesus, I ask that you would be my Father. I ask that you would be my strength. Jesus, I give you my past. I give you my today, and I give you my tomorrow. Jesus, I receive you. Thank you for receiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you who received one of those boxes, you may be seated. You may be seated, and here's the thing. The Bible says this, that when any one heart and one soul gives their heart to Jesus Christ, all of heaven celebrates and rejoices. Come on, brothers, let's praise God again for our new brothers in the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 In that box, there's a Bible. There's some books, some little things to get you started on your walk with God. And we pray that you can continue to connect and grow. Our leaders are here. We'd love to talk with you afterwards. And we want to welcome you to God's family. And now you're not on the outside, you're on the inside. Now, brothers, let's all stand to our feet. Can you put Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 up real quickly again? And then we'll be dismissed here in a moment. Galatians 2, verse 20. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Everyone say, we're going to say this verse together. Okay, we're going to say it out loud together on the count of three. One, two, three. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This is for all of us. We're at so many levels. This is something, a revelation that we need, and we need God. We want to pray. We're going to pray, God, I don't want to live myself anymore, but I want you to live through me. That's the prayer. But it requires surrender. It requires a surrender that says, Jesus, I'm going to stop trying to live my life, and Jesus, I'm going to ask you to live your life through me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you, and we love you, and we praise you. Jesus, we thank you that we no longer live, but it's Christ who lives through us, oh God. Father, we thank you for giving us the grace. We pray for on-the-spot grace to not look to anyone else, but to look first to Jesus Christ. We thank you for the sacred privilege that you are not far away, but you are living in us, oh God. And Lord, we also believe that, Lord, this is what's going to bring us to become strong, mature, and complete men, oh God. We thank you today for this truth, and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together and praise the Lord.